Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, March the 7th. As we like to do once a week, we'll be chatting with our good friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. There's apparently a leak from a lab in China that's become a little controversial. There are new January 6th videos. I haven't seen them all, but they appear to be interesting. Walmart is closing a store in Portland. A lot going on, so let me say hello to our friend Bill Katz in New York. Bill, what is the latest from New York?
The latest from New York, let me see now. Well, a crime was committed somewhere in the city last night. I was shocked by it. I mean, crime in New York City, this is not something we're used to. They had 12 hit shows on Broadway, I understand, or somebody dreamed it or something. At $300 a ticket, that told us, all of which told us how rotten we are as a country. Everybody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see it. They're all lined up at the door. We have the mayor of New York trying to get something done and it being quite impossible because we're spending $5 million a day housing illegal immigrants without any help at all from the state or the federal government. It's a happy time.
Yes, I thought so. Now, he also gave a speech, which I found interesting. A lot of people are reacting to it. He gave a speech about having all these young people sort of growing up without values, something along those lines. I thought it was good that he said that. I'm not sure he's going to get a lot of help from the Democrats, but I'm glad he's saying it, Bill.
Well, I'm glad he said it, too. I think he's basically a good man, and he's trying to get things done. He's talking about things. Well, even Barack Obama spoke about some of these things, but you get into the hard left of the Democratic Party, and it hits a stone wall. If you mention it, you're showing disrespect for other races. Well, the man is African-American. He's been African-American all his life, and I think that what we may be seeing, you know, this is something worthy of discussion. You've probably noticed in the last week there have been several news stories about minority groups moving to the right. You mentioned, I think you were one of the first journalists a year ago, you alerted me to the fact that the Hispanic communities, in plural, were moving to the right, that there was generational change. The kids didn't want to live the way the parents lived. And that has now come true in polls and in elections. The big story this week was information about the Asian American community, especially here in New York. Lee Zeldin, who ran for governor, put out his own tweet on it saying, look at the movement to the right of the Asian American community. I think other communities are getting that idea. I think you're beginning to see even some movement in the Jewish community, which is critical to New York, which is moving to the right. I think that's a major, major news story. I don't know if it will penetrate the Democratic Party, but it is certainly a threat to the Democratic Party.
No, absolutely. And I think what these communities have in common, the Asian community, the Hispanic community there in New York, is that they're the targets of crime. I mean, if you just look at it from if you have a lot of those bodegas in New York City, a lot of those restaurants, and small businesses, many of them are Asian, many of them are Hispanic, and they're looking at this crime wave and they're saying, this is crazy. I mean, every time I open my, you know, I check the news every day, there's another group of people barging in, you know, like walking into a restaurant and destroying it. and into a property. I mean, I think people are beginning to realize that that's crazy, that that's just crazy behavior. But let me get back to something you said, though. $5 million a day.
Yes.
Man, not even the Yankees and the Mets have that kind of payroll. That is an unbelievable amount of money. I mean, that's just housing them, right? That doesn't take into account education and the additional cost of the police. You're just talking about housing, right?
I think there is a list of the things that it includes. I have not memorized
right.
the entire
okay.
list, but it's basically housing and food. And then you get into medical care. You're not going to deprive anyone of medical care, not ethically. And you also have to take into account in that the business that these centers are driving away. Some of the hotels that were taken over to house illegal immigrants are located in the theater district in New York, and people are afraid to go there. The restaurateurs tell us that their business is way down because people don't want to walk around knowing that there are illegals there because they associate them correctly or incorrectly with crime. I'm certainly not suggesting that every illegal immigrant is a criminal, but the image is bad. It's a bad image. And
right.
it cuts down on the amount of business in these areas. These are areas that are very important to tourism. Tourism is the only thing that New York City has right now. I mean, businesses are leaving. People are leaving. The school system, I read in the last week, lost 100,000 students last year. 100,000. The best business in New York today is the moving van business. You know,
right.
people, New York State and California are the two largest out-migration states in the United States. I believe New York is in the number one position. And you don't hear a word. You don't hear a word from the governor. You certainly don't hear a word from the state legislature. And in New York, the city council is more like the city council of Moscow. With some, I'm talking about Moscow, Russia, in some of its views. So the state is in terrible condition. If we were to be hit by a major recession, I think it's possible that New York could literally go bankrupt.
Or,
people don't realize the situation because it's a slow-moving thing.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned recession, and I had that point here on my list because chairman of the Fed, Mr. Powell, was in front of the House or the Senate today. I'm not sure which one. And he was once again indicating that there are going to be more rates, interest rates.
Yes.
And that's because, you know, I think he's doing the right thing. You have to, you know, eliminate inflation. You have to tackle inflation. But the impact of that on a city like New York is unbelievable because of the financial industry, the cost of real estate and all of that. So that's, you know, that's a community that will be hard hit. I read a story that they took a poll that more than half of economists believe that a recession is coming. A recession, like you indicated, would hit New York very, very hard because all they have is the financial industry right now. And that's usually the industry that gets hit very hard with these interest rates, Bill. The banks, the finance companies, the insurance companies,
that's right.
and so on. And speaking, if I quickly make a point here about the insurance companies, big front page article today in the Dallas Morning News about how Texans are getting their, and we briefly mentioned this last week, but Texans are getting their annual insurance renewals, okay, for home, for auto, for everything.
Oh, yes.
You know, property owners, everything, you know, commercial insurance. And it's like people are saying, what? You mean I'm getting a 20% increase, 15% increase? But that's what's happening. That's what's happening. I would have to assume that cities like New York and, you know, Philadelphia and Chicago, where you've had a lot more destruction of property than we've had down here, that, you know, those insurance companies are turning around and passing that on down to the consumers. I guess they have a choice. They pass it on to the consumers or they go out of business, Bill.
That's exactly right. I've gotten my increase, my auto increase for the year. People are getting increases. They're also getting increases. You know, I try to visit as many places as I can to see how the economy in the area is going. You go into any supermarket in where we are, which is 20 miles north of New York City, and you see price increases, and they're not little price increases. If an item was $3.39 last week, it's not unusual to find it at $4.09. I mean, the increases are large, and they are continuing. This nonsense that inflation is over is ridiculous. People are really sitting down and saying, how can I save money on food? Shall I stock up? Shall I do this? A lot of people have told us when we have discussions that they're now trying to buy basic necessities on the Internet regularly. In other words, things they need for the house, cleaning supplies, things that are available on the Internet, and they buy in bulk in advance. Well, that's fine for the Internet and for the Internet suppliers, but for the local stores, it's death. I mean, eventually, these stores cannot stay in business charging these prices, because you go into some food stores and they're almost empty. People are buying somewhere else. Fuel, and by the way, another thing to note, and I think it's very important, is that slowly but surely, gasoline prices are rising again.
That's
right. I noticed I filled up a couple of days ago. And I noticed, gee, this wasn't this high last week,
right.
And that's going up again. I don't know what people do. I think what you're beginning to see in the country, at least according to some articles I read, is a very slowly moving panic that people feel they will not be able to afford the basics of life. And that is especially true of parents, because you have to feed the children. I mean, that's not a luxury.
No.
But when you have a radical leftist party in power that doesn't care about children, that doesn't even think women should get pregnant, that can't even define a woman, they don't care. You'll notice very little attention is paid in public discussion to children. And when it comes to education, the only thing that the left is interested in is shoving their curriculum down everybody's throat, like critical race theory. Now, Governor DeSantis is doing something about it in Florida. Of course, naturally, he's now being called a racist or a nativist. He is doing an excellent job, as he always does. I just saw today that he withdrew support from a bill that had become very controversial about bloggers having to register. It was a bad bill. It was a bill of one of his allies, and he withdrew support for it. As soon as something goes wrong on his watch, he corrects it. He is a really first-class governor. And,
he is doing a good job. I mean, people are moving there. I mean,
that's usually a sign
that. But let me get back to what you were talking about, families and families surviving. I made myself a couple of notes here because I've been reading a lot about this in the media. Car loans are, delinquency rates are pretty high right now. They're historically high. More and more cars are being repossessed and sent back to the dealership or whatever. Rent is a major problem,
Yes.
Here's the other one that was really alarming, that many people are now using their credit card to buy food, that they're buying
the
things they need by going into debt. Well, you know, As you know as well as I do, Bill, credit cards have limits, and you reach a point where you can no longer put anything on it.
And that's one
of the first things that banks do when the economy gets bad, they start cutting back on lines of credit so that people don't go crazy. So these are signs, as you indicated, of a bad situation in the country. They don't seem to get a lot of publicity, but it's happening out there. And when you talk to people one-on-one, when you get away from the partisanship one side or the other, and just talk to people one-on-one, this is what they're concerned about. They're concerned about making the rent payment. They're concerned about making the car payment. I don't remember things like this. I guess you got to go back, Bill, to the very early 80s, you know, that very tough recession that we had in 81, 82, 83, especially 82. You have to go back to that to have anything that I recall like this, where the economy was really hurting people. And I think the next thing you're going to see is a lot of people being evicted because they cannot pay rent. Where are they going to go? Because we don't have these programs anymore. All of that COVID money that was supposed to be for this was spent already. So I just see a difficult summer. I mean, that's what I see. I see a difficult summer of spring and summer, really, for the country, Bill.
I think you're absolutely right. And also, the things that are basic are the things that people are looking at. The fact of the matter is that you have, for example, a city like New York. There are an awful lot of minority children in New York. I've not seen a single story on any news outlet in which minority parents are interviewed and asked by the reporter, what do you want for your children? It's always somebody at a cocktail party or somebody in a Washington bureau, you know, and who wants to talk about that. But we are not hearing from the people. The people are speaking. They're speaking in many different ways. You have a parents' revolt in Virginia, which is continuing. You're beginning to see parents' revolts in other places, and yet we hear that the FBI at one time considered some of these parents to be dangerous.
That's right.
I wish, and when you hear educators speak, they seem to be speaking about a different world, a world that nobody actually lives in, but that they wish would exist. We are making some progress in some areas. You do see now every couple of days another university disavowing this whole business about potential faculty members having to sign a statement about diversity and make a pledge. The University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, a very prestigious university, has eliminated that. I see that there was another one this morning. I don't recall all of them, but there are now some schools that are beginning to show some sensitivity to how outrageous some of their practices have been.
Right.
And maybe we'll make some progress, but for every ounce of progress, you get another university that doubles down on the same kind of garbage we've been getting for 3 years. This is going to be a very bitter fight over education during the campaign, and it's one of the most important political battles we will have had in the modern history of this country.
Right. Well, just today, Bill, in Texas, we're in the middle of our legislative session. We do it every 2 years. And just today, the executive committee recommended to the whole legislature universal school choice in Texas. So that's going to be up for a vote. And it'll be very much along party lines. I mean, that's
yes.
The way, because unfortunately, a lot of the Democrats have to, you know, they have to take care of the union because they get a lot of money from the union.
That's
but
right.
I think the votes are here to pass it. So that's a good sign. That's another good sign from Texas, Bill, is that all these problems we've been having in Austin, Texas, you know, Austin, Texas is like San Francisco, you know. I don't know how, but Austin, Texas, a beautiful city, has been overtaken by a liberal city council that is just crazy, some of the stuff they're doing.
Yes.
Well, the governor is making it very clear to them that if they cannot defend or if they cannot protect the citizens, he will, by basically taking over their police. In Houston, another bit of news.
Yes, yes.
The Houston school district is about to be taken over by the state because the district is a joke. I mean, the scores are horrible. Another good reason to have school choice. So I see a lot of good signs too, Bill. But then you get depressing signs like this Olympic committee saying that a man who thinks he's a woman can now do weightlifting in the Olympics.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting there looking at this story and asking myself, what happened to level-headed Democrats? I mean, something like this, you would have been laughed at 20 years ago if you had said this. You know, people would have looked at you and said, you're crazy. I mean, don't you understand male, female? Don't you understand that? So sometimes you do, and then you get crazy stuff. I think in Massachusetts, they want to bring down the state flag because it's apparently white supremacy or some crazy stuff like that. So, you know, the crazies are still out there, but I'm confident that we're winning this thing, Bill.
Well, I think we're winning it in the minds of the people. Whether it gets translated into actual political action is another matter. You know, the left has developed a certain level of patience that they just wear you down and wear you down and wear you down, and we're seeing some pretty grim things still happening. What's interesting was I don't know if it actually came to a vote in the Senate this week, that a large number of Democratic senators will go along with President Biden's veto of the new criminal code in the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia is a federal district, and Congress can control what it does. And the city council came up with this crazy, crazy crime bill, which basically gives criminals more rights and more leeway. And there was a revolt against it in the Senate by the Republicans first, but now the Democrats and the president, ironically, are saying, we're not going to let this stand. Well, that's a good first step, but it's one thing to go against the D.C. City Council. I mean, it is a federal district. They don't really have much independent power. But when it comes to things on a local level in places like Portland, you saw yesterday, I ran an urgent agenda piece,
yes,
that the last two Walmarts are leaving Portland. And the effect will be felt most by poorer people, because
mm-hmm.
they depend on stores like that to get some bargains for their needs. But they say they cannot remain open because of crime and because of crime not being punished. And yet you also have, you saw it yesterday in the paper, that a prosecutor in Los Angeles has won a large lawsuit against his boss, the George Soros installed district attorney. He was fired for raising objections to what the district attorney was doing, which he thought was suicidal for the city. He got, or I think it was a she, actually, it's a she, got fired from her regular job, was given a much lower level job, sued and won. And maybe this will be another sign to people that people are beginning to fight back in smaller numbers than they should, but they are fighting back. Now,
right.
But
the Walmart,
fight,
if I may say something about the Walmart for a second,
yes.
the loss of Walmart is very consequential. I remember, Bill, a few years ago when they were talking about building a new baseball stadium in the area, and they were talking about the economic impact of having a new baseball stadium, you know, all the tickets sold and the taxes and the activity. And somebody made a study saying that you actually generated more money for a city by having a Walmart, meaning sales taxes and so on, than by having a brand new baseball stadium, because the baseball stadium, you play, what, 80 games at home? So
mm-hmm.
most of the year it's empty. But the Walmart is open every day, and every day
yes.
people are going in and out buying. And the sales tax consequence of a Walmart is tremendous for any city. So it's not just the jobs that they're losing. It's not just the bargains that people can pay when they go there. It's the fact that all those sales taxes are supporting the revenues of Portland. So you lose two big Walmarts, those are two craters. I mean, of holes
yes.
that they're leaving behind. So
absolutely.
So that's and again, we keep coming back to a point we've made before: is are these city council people that stupid? Don't they see the money going out the door? I mean, at some point you have to wonder, are these people so committed to the ideology that they're willing to destroy themselves and their city? Because, my God, you lose two Walmarts, you're losing two of your biggest employers and tax providers, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. And now there was another story, a very big story, out of Portland, that one of their biggest home developers is leaving, saying that it's just impossible to do business there. And he's leaving, and yet you don't hear a word from anybody in the city government. I mean, I think that they are so dug in, the leftists. These are not liberals. These are not liberals. These are leftists. These are people committed to a socialist ideology. And I think as far as they're concerned, the ordinary citizen is just a peg on a board to be used to advance the ideology. But Portland is now being spoken of really and written about in the past tense as a once great city. It was known as the Jewel of the West, just a beautiful city with wonderful entertainment, wonderful arts. And now it's just a shambles, and it's not the only one. Go right next door to the state of California, which I was amused to see that Governor DeSantis visited California, which is one of the largest out-migration states in the country. People are leaving in droves. And, of course, his state of Florida is the largest in-migration state.
Right.
And I think that DeSantis probably went to make a public contrast between himself and the governor of California, who may want to run for president if Biden doesn't run. I mean, on what will he run? On what will he what accomplishment can he point to? California is billions in dollars behind in its revenues. And the only way they can make up for it is to raise taxes, because people are leaving. And if they raise taxes, more people will leave. Who's coming? I mean, if you were a big company, you're not going to want to move to California. You really aren't. And you see a city like Los Angeles, which has just elected a follower of Fidel Castro as its mayor. Now, she seems on the surface to want to appear moderate, but we've seen this act before. They get elected as moderates, and then suddenly you find all their appointees are people who believe Joe Stalin was a great man.
Right.
In the end, you've got to blame the voters. They go to the polls. This is occurs in New York all the time. They go to the polls, and they elect the same fools, or they simply are not aware of what is going on in branches of their government. You know, one of the most interesting aspects of city life in America is that you can elect a great mayor, you can elect a fine mayor, but the city councils are often so far to the left that nothing gets done. And one of the reasons they're so far to the left is that nobody even knows who their councilman is.
Right.
I mean, when is the last time you got excited about a race for the city council?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those bodies in the city that people know is there. They don't know who is actually on the council. They don't really follow what the council does. But we have a city council in New York City that's, by the way, it meets five blocks from Ground Zero, from the
mm-hmm.
World Trade Center, which was attacked. That city council is way out in left field. It's not going
right.
to give the mayor any help.
Right, and the mayor is in a tough situation, because I think he, like you indicated, he wants to do the right thing, but he simply can't because his hands are tied. He's not getting any help from the governor. If the governor was helping, that might be a little bit better, but he's not getting any help from the governor either. Let's take a little break, Bill, and then when we come back, I want to get into some of these videos that have been released here lately.
Yep.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, chatting with our good friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. Bill, before we get to the lab leak and the videos, the January 6th videos that just came out, just a couple of quick things that I wanted to mention. Have you watched Senator Manchin lately? it's been amazing. He doesn't even call himself a Democrat anymore, or doesn't seem to want to. He's not sure he's going to endorse president. I mean, it's like this is my theory, Bill. He made the Inflation Reduction Act possible. He was the one who made it possible.
Yes.
He must be catching West Virginia heat like you couldn't believe. He must be, every time he goes back to West Virginia, it must be like hell, pardon my language, for Senator Manchin, because he is running away from Joe Biden so fast. It's funny, but I can understand why, Bill.
Well, yes. Look, he is at the point in his career. He's been a very popular politician in West Virginia. He's been governor and been in the United States senator. And I just wonder if he's going to look at the political landscape for next year and say, you know, sitting on a boat fishing in the middle of a lake looks awfully attractive. maybe I'm past this. But the fact is, though,
you know what they say, Bill. Almost heaven, West Virginia.
Yes.
There must be some nice little ranch there in West Virginia where he can get away from all of this.
That's right.
And I wouldn't blame him if he does, Bill, because he's going to have a very tough time getting reelected, even in the best of even if he hadn't voted for the Inflation Reduction Act. But he's going to be running, apparently, if he runs for reelection, running against the governor of West Virginia, who's super popular, Bill.
Yes. And I think it's possible that the Republicans can pick up some much-wanted seats there. West Virginia is a very, very conservative state. It's one of the few real conservative states that are left, although other states may be moving in that direction, we hope. But look, here is a story. I'm just looking. I'm at the computer right now. Vendors abandon popular San Francisco farmers market. The farmers market in San Francisco, a very famous place, as drug addicts overtake the streets. I mean, my goodness, it is one of the most beautiful cities we have, and look what's happening to it. And I think that their mayor, whose name is London Breed, what a wonderful name, wants to do something. They just can't get it done. I don't think they're going to get state support. The state legislature in California is like the Comintern in Russia. Mm-hmm. They're busy calculating reparations. That's the world they live in. And now here's another story that just popped up. A controversial Biden nominee withdraws her nomination after Senator Manchin opposes her. Now this is Gigi Sohn. Gigi Sohn, that's so typical. Sohn is an old leftist Marxist, and Biden picked her to run the Federal Communications Commission. But when they went back and looked at Gigi Sohn's record, they realized she's a homewrecker. I mean, she's an absolute disaster. So she has now withdrawn her nomination, and I suspect there won't be another nomination for a while. See. She says her decision came in response to unrelenting, dishonest, and cruel attacks from cable and media industry lobbyists, the Washington Post first reported. Maybe had she, you know, had more thoughtful positions, this wouldn't have happened. But look, I think Biden does intend to run again. I really think that's his intent. I don't know if he actually will. Look, he's got to live another year, remember. And he doesn't seem to me to be a man. I'm not a physician, and I don't play one on TV. But he seems to be a man whose mental capacities seem to weaken regularly, and these things don't go in the other direction. I think he wants to run. If he doesn't run, it is going to be an absolutely chaotic and grim scene in the Democratic Party.
I agree. But let me say something about Senator Manchin. He went out of his way to oppose that lady, Gigi, whatever her name is.
Yes.
And he also co-sponsored that bill to stop the ESG, forcing your retirement program to invest in climate change and that kind of thing.
Yes.
He opposed it. So he's, I think he, whether he runs for reelection or not, I don't know. But I think he wants to spend the next 15 months of his Senate career at least in tune with West Virginia, Bill.
I think he does. I would not be surprised to see pictures of Senator Manchin sewing new American flags on his lap. That was always the image that people had of Pat Nixon when Nixon got in trouble. They would they'd say, "But there's Pat Nixon." You know.
Yes, I thought it, but it was so funny. He was on one of the Sunday shows, and they kept asking him about whether or not he's supporting Joe Biden, and he said, "Well, it's too early to talk about politics, Too early? I mean, if if it was normally at this stage of the game, you are with your president or not. I mean, that's pretty much the standard. So I just think that West Virginia is – that vote for the Inflation Reduction Act really hurt him. Let me move on to a couple of big topics this week. The first one is the lab leak, because I think this is the more important one, that this lab leak back 3 years ago. Now, when I first heard this story, let me set the table this way. When I first heard it, I had no idea whether it was true or not. I didn't know whether it was accidental or intentional. I didn't know any of that, but I had an open mind. You know, I was willing to say, okay, give me more information. Because from my point of view, Bill, the idea that China would be working on a virus to hurt the world or would conceal an accident, that was completely plausible to me because
yes.
we're talking about
mm-hmm.
China.
That's
I don't
right.
mean the Chinese people. The Chinese people are great. I'm not talking about
yes.
them. I'm talking about the government. So the idea that the government of China would be evil enough to do something like this, that was possible to me in my mind, knowing communism as I do. But the minute that President Trump, you know, said, yeah, it's possible, immediately we now know that CNN even had an internal memo saying, you cannot talk about this because it's a Trump talking point. And it's like another, in my opinion, Bill, another suicidal move by CNN. I mean, they look
yes.
so bad right now once again. So the media doesn't look good on this, Bill. A lot of reporters, NPR, my gosh, you
yes,
know, they would
right.
have put you in jail if you had even suggested this, Bill.
That's right. And I don't know how much they will actually learn. I don't think NPR is capable of learning anything. I mean, they just think, but you know, some of these people at places like NPR, they just think of themselves as better people. We are simply finer people, and there may be a mistake occasionally, but really, we are the kind of people you want to be, don't you? And they think in those terms. I mean, it's evident in the way they talk. But CNN, I have been watching more CNN recently to see what changes have been made. They have some things that they're doing well. Their Ukraine coverage, I think, is very fine. And I think really a throwback to what good journalism used to be. I don't know who's controlling it. I'm sure it's not Christiane Amanpour, but they've done the job, and they've really been our main source for detailed information from Ukraine. On domestic politics, though, they're still a flop. They just cannot get out of this business of being the anti-Trump network, and
right.
they seem to desperately try to say, we're really better. We're really better than the other guys. We really are better. They have a long way to go. I hope they reach that point. The person in charge of CNN from their new owners does not seem strong enough as a figure to make the changes, but we're hopeful. We want to see good news reporting. But one of the things that is noteworthy is the fact that the involvement of parents in public life, not only just in education, in public life, seems to be growing, and that's good. You know, very often in local communities, parents were so busy they had no time for other things, but you see more and more people getting involved, not simply in school boards, but in other things, and I think that's a very good sign for the country.
Yeah. Well, it was COVID, I think, that really got
yes.
these parents in the game. Because they saw what was, you know, the way their kids were being treated because of COVID, and they were saying, wait a minute, you're putting a mask on my kid, you're closing the schools. So, yes, I think that had a lot to do with it. But this thing with the lab leak, I mean, the number of reputations, you couldn't go on some sites and even say that you wanted to get more information or you wanted to have a discussion about it, because the minute you would mention it, you would be thrown out as a conspiratorial kind of person. I mean, it was like a communist country. You couldn't say certain things. And that, I, you know, the media really fell for that. And it's a shame because they hated Trump so much, I guess they forgot to be journalists, Bill.
Yes, that's absolutely right. They regarded Trump as a threat, not simply to civilization, but the entire universe. I mean, they were protecting Mars. They were protecting Venus. They knew they had to protect these things from Donald Trump. Isn't it interesting also, by the way, that Trump so far has run, but for Trump, it's a very moderate campaign.
Right.
Somebody got to him, Bill.
Somebody got to him and told him to change, because you're right, he has changed.
Yes, he act presidential, and it may happen. I think, though, that that DeSantis looks as if he's going to run. I think he's going to give Trump a run for his money. And what Trump should do immediately is say, I will support the Republican nominee. And because there's going to be, you know, he's going to hang something over the party's head. And that is, if you don't give me the nomination, I may run as an independent. That is a real threat to the Republican Party. And I think if he takes that off the table, you can have a very interesting Republican contest. I think a lot of people running or seeming to run for president on the Republican side are really running for vice president. They're, you know, they're running for their future. I think that is certainly true of Nikki Haley, who I've always liked. I think there's some others who may enter the race simply to be noticed and noticed for the future. But there are also some people saying quite out loud on the Republican side that they don't want that to happen. They don't want the field so crowded that they're going to have another debate with 17 people,
right,
which is one of the things that has hurt the party. So,
right.
and the big question that is being asked politically, as you know, and something we should discuss, what happens if Biden doesn't run?
Right.
What do they do with Kamala Harris?
Well, they may not have a choice. I mean, they may have to give it to her, just because, as you've indicated before, the identity politics angle of this, I mean, it's going to be impossible to deny it to her, but there may be a primary fight, then she loses. That's the other issue. I mean, does she really want to go into a primary fight? I wouldn't be surprised if Hillary Clinton got involved. She might jump right in if it's her and Kamala Harris. So, I mean, but you're right. I think your larger point is correct. The Democrats would have a serious problem if Biden doesn't run, but I also think they have a problem if Biden runs. Because I don't think he's going to be able to hide in the basement of his house and do a campaign from there. He's going to have to be a lot more energetic. And with all due respect to President Biden, or someone of his age, I should say, it's kind of tough to expect a man of that age with some of the medical history that he's had to run for president like a 60-year-old, Bill.
The one thing they could do, and it has been done before, is that they could create a crisis. If Biden runs, he gets the nomination in probably August when the convention is held, and starts a little bit of a campaign, and then they declare an international crisis of some kind. They can make one up, and suddenly he has to rush back to the White House and said, I haven't got time for campaigning. I'm the president. And you don't see him. He kind of loses himself in the Oval Office. It is an old political technique. It's as old as the hills, actually, to create a crisis. But that's the one thing they could do.
The garden strategy? What do they call that?
Well, I think it was called the front porch strategy originally.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I think
that could happen. Now, the economy is going to have a lot to say about his reelection, Bill, because if this economy gets worse, I think it's going to be tough for him. I don't care what crisis he declares, it's going to be tough for him to. But that's so far ahead. I mean, that's the thing that I sometimes think that, you know, thinking about 2024, when we're still in the first quarter of 2023, is, you know, so many things can happen in so many different ways, so many balls in the air, that who knows. But at the moment, I think you're right. I think he is running. And who runs against him? I think at the moment would be Trump. But
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if DeSantis takes him out. You know, so many things.
I think one thing we have to consider in the issue of Trump is that there are legal proceedings against him. And I think that the party is going to have to get used to that possibility, that he can become indicted while a candidate. And I don't know what you do then, but I think if I were a Democratic strategist, I would tell, for example, the Attorney General of New York, slow walk your investigation right now, and if you feel you can indict him, do it during the campaign. And that's devastating. That's, I mean, would the country elect a man who was under indictment? I don't think so.
Yeah, that would be a tough one. Let me go to the January 6th. I have not seen all 40 hours of videos. I don't intend to. But apparently some videos have come out. And I don't know how much they changed the overall story. But there are a couple of things that I do want to say about it, Bill. I'd like to get your reaction. Number one, I think they made a big mistake in not putting this out at the very beginning. I think that
yes.
The demo, what they should have done is here are all the videos. You got to watch them all. And let's watch them all. Everybody gets to watch them all. And the other thing is, I think they made a huge mistake by running the committee the way they ran it, because there was no cross examination and it was so one sided. This whole thing was handled so poorly by the Democrats in that committee. And I did read something. I don't know how valid this is, that somebody was asking, did the defense lawyers for many of these people who've been put in jail or are being processed, did those defense lawyers have access to these videos? Because that, you know, that could be important.
Absolutely.
If you're in there and all of a sudden the video that just came out shows you in a different place, you know, that I would think that's grounds for changing the trial, Bill.
Well, or grounds for an appeal.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely, and it's being shown on Fox. I didn't think that was the best venue for it because Fox is known as a somewhat biased network. But the fact is that what is coming out in some of these videos that were withheld from us is the fact that there was no real insurrection. I mean, the idea that this was an insurrection to overthrow the government is nonsense. It was a lot of people, many of them irresponsible, some of them actually responsible, who just wanted to go into the building, and you see it on the video, escorted by the police, who escorted many of them into the building and do their little thing. Should they be punished? Well, if they were taking over the Senate chamber improperly, they should be punished. I think it should be a slap on the wrist. But the idea that there was some huge insurrection out there that really thought that they could take over the government is nonsense. It really is, and it made the whole cause of the Democrats look a little cheap, that they have been putting people in prison who probably shouldn't be in prison. They might or have very much reduced sentences. They could have made their point by simply saying, this is just unacceptable. We now know that there were people on Capitol Hill who warned days before this that they needed more police on duty that day. That was the day, you know, when they certified the presidency, the presidential election, and Mike Pence would do that. They also were offered the National Guard, and they turned it down. You know, they ought to look at the events that occurred before that day. And when President Trump on that day spoke, he said, go peacefully to the Capitol and protest, which is something Americans have a right to do if it's peaceful.
Right.
But the Democrats made it into Pearl Harbor.
Right, and that's it. But that's a mistake, I think. That's a mistake now, because had they not done that, and I mean, had they put all these videos out and said, we're going to conduct this investigation correctly, meaning the Republicans are going to get to cross-examine these witnesses and so on, I think the investigation would have been more credible than it was. Now it turns out like it was a partisan show. And and after watching some of these videos and you see people walking around the Capitol like they're in some kind of a high school tour, you know, it makes you wonder what kind of an insurrection is this? Where is the insurrection? I mean, and so I think the language, the way it was presented by the media was so over the top that I think it has done harm. I mean, to people like Representative Cheney and the other Republican who I think made fools of themselves and letting themselves be used
in
this fashion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's the thing.
Well,
I mean,
it cost Liz Cheney her career.
It cost her career, but you have to wonder, I mean, why would she do that? I mean, why? she would be in a stronger position today, probably still serving as the representative from Wyoming, if she had said, look, I don't like Trump, I hate Trump, but this has to be done correctly if you want me to play this game. We've got to have a real investigation, cross-examination, and she would have come out stronger. The way she came out was, you know, I'm out to get Trump any way I can get him. And I think she hurt herself, and she hurt the country, Bill.
I think she did. I think she was very naive in thinking that they were serious and wanting her wisdom on the panel. They simply wanted to use her because
right.
the decisions, like the modern leftists and the Democratic Party do, the decisions were made before the hearings were even held.
That's
I mean,
right.
they knew exactly what they wanted these hearings to be, and I think that's now unraveling. And when things start to unravel, you know, especially in a period of economic decline, they can unravel very quickly because
right.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. You're right. But I was going to say, if you're going to, Watergate. I'll just say one quick thing here. I remember the Watergate hearings, and I think what made those hearings credible is that you know there was a senator, the senator from Tennessee. Alexander was it, the senator from Tennessee who was the Republican, I can't think of his name right now. But
I think, was it Howard Baker?
Howard Baker, yes, Senator Howard
yeah.
Baker was there representing the Republicans, and he got a shot. I mean, he had an opportunity to interview people, and it was him who actually began the turning against Nixon. It wasn't the
yes.
Democrat, it was the Republican. and had this committee been more responsible and actually done it the right way, you know, maybe it would have been different for Trump, too. Trump maybe would have lost support. But now I think Trump is actually coming out of all of this stronger than ever. I really do. And
yes,
because,
I think so, too.
And he's a lot stronger now because he can point to all of these things like these tapes and, you know, the lab leak and the media. You know, he could be coming out of this a lot stronger. I'm not saying he's going to win the nomination, but he doesn't have to worry about documents anymore because now Biden has a document problem too. So something's happened that the little arrow is sort of tilting toward Trump as if, you know, he's getting the lucky breaks now, Bill.
Well, yes, and there's no question about that. And when you look at the calendar and realize that the nominating conventions for the two parties are a year and maybe 3 or 4 months from now, that is actually rather close. The
right.
campaigns will begin in earnest in September of this year. I mean, other countries, they have
right.
They have election campaigns that last 6 weeks. We have election campaigns that last 6 years. I mean,
right.
You know,
we're already running for 2028, you know.
They are. Some of them are. They're obviously running for 2028.
Yeah,
they're just
right.
going to make their names known and say, look, I may not be right for this year, but I'll be right in 4 years.
Exactly, yeah. They're
absolutely.
Kind of getting themselves ready for 28 or 32.
Absolutely. And look, we can't predict the future. We don't know what is going to happen politically. We also don't know what's going to happen in the world. This country
That's
is
right.
facing three major international crises. One is Taiwan, the second is Iran, and the third is Ukraine. And they're not being managed well by the administration, in my view. There is an Iranian interest somewhere in that administration from the old Obama crowd that is disrupting our attempts to confront Iran, and it could have very bad consequences. And
well,
Ukraine,
Iranian ships down in Brazil.
Yes,
Iranian,
that's right.
Military ships down in Brazil. That, I don't know, I think, wasn't there something called the Monroe Doctrine, Bill?
There is, yes.
Yeah, something like that. I think maybe they should update the president on that. But a lot
yes,
of
well,
crazy things going on.
They,
and
in Washington, In Washington, they think the Monroe Doctrine was written by Marilyn Monroe.
That's it. That's it. That it was the seven. It was something she sang in the
yes.
7 Year Itch.
That's right.
All right, Bill. As always, it's a great honor, a great pleasure to have you. And we're just getting ready for next week. So next week, bring your good fastball next week, and we'll have another great chat.
I will, because things are getting more and more interesting.
They sure are. Have a wonderful day, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us, as always.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. Our good friend, Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. But yes, one of the big things out there is the foreign policy or what's happening around the world. And it's getting crazy around the world. And that could be a big factor in the next election. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.